The continuation of Ben Azai. Voyoymer. He had more things to tell us. Voyoymer, Alti Avoz, Lechol Odom. Ve Alti Amafli, Lechol Dovo. Difficulties with the translations here. Alti Avoz. Mevaze. Cheapen. Make lowly. L'chol Odom, to any person. About the maflig. Maflig is also a word of vizoyan, of unimportance. But it relates to the tnua that people make. That's nothing. You send it away from you. It's not connected. It's not related to you. It's not important. Nothing. Maflik. Maflik is lashon afloga, distancing oneself. So al tiyeh maflik lechol dover. No item. Person shouldn't be maflik. Don't make anything cheap. Don't make anything distant from you. Nothing is that important. Why? She'ein lecha odom she'ein lo yishol. Ve'ein lecha dover she'ein lo yimokim. There is nothing, there is no person that doesn't have his time. And there is no item that doesn't have his place.
Go
on to the next mission?
Yeah.
That's clear.
Second half is an explanation of the first half.
So we can go on. Okay. The Vilita sees you have no. What's Shver with this Mishnah? What needs to be explained? If this one? Okay, that's a good way of putting the question. The question is, what is exactly the Mishnah trying to tell us? It's trying to tell us that you can find worth, positive worth in somebody. So that we had in a positive form, that type of a concept, like you're saying. But here, if we look at the Rishonim here on the first half, Al-Tiyavosu say the Rav, for example, a lot of the Rishonim of Ben Yehuda also has the same similar language. That guy can't do me any harm. Is it?
Nobody.
Is it nobody because he can't harm me? What kind of attitude is that? What is that supposed to mean? Is it nobody? People are judged by how much good and not good they do to me. That's what the Torah teaches. That's not weird. From square one and on, we learn that way. After the Echa Kamoich and on. What does this mean? The Alti Avos Lechol Odom.
What's the translator saying? Who are we talking about? Who's the Alti? The person or the. The other person, or
the other person.
Don't
be.
He should not be posed in my
eyes. Althea Maflik. What's this talking about? What's this talking about? That you shouldn't throw out the trash. You should hold all the cardboard boxes that come in with the vegetables. I'll throw them out because you may need them one day. So it's that big machsan, we throw in all the junk. What is this supposed to, what's it telling us? The problem with these type of mishnayos is not. What?
Any piece of information.
So some people that translate dover as ideas instead of objects or words. But the basic pshat in the Shani means objects. The Chazal, they bring on this Mishnah that, for example, that David HaMelech was boz to Bogodim. The fact that he chopped off the corner of Shaul's cloth. And because of that he was punished, that when it came to the time, when he was old, he wouldn't get warm by clothes, by blankets. So that's an idea of Shein Lecha Dova, Shein Lo Imochim. Really, Al Pi Shur Sadin, he could have killed Shaul. And Lefnai Lefnim Yishur Sadin, he decided as Kovid Malchus. He was the Musug of Malchus, so he knew what Kovid Malchus was. He decided just to chop off the corner. No, it's no good. You're making clothes lax. If you make clothes lax, Ein Chadov Shein Lo Imochim. But David HaMelech didn't have appreciation for clothes, because one time he chopped off the corner.
Maybe it means the person shouldn't perceive things through value judgments of them. He should understand the value of something before he sticks his sheetahs in. In other words, there's something out there, and to understand what it is, you have to back away from yourself to understand what it is, rather than perceive that it is a reflection of what you want, what you desire, and the way you relate to it. In order to relate to something properly, you first have to sort of disassociate yourself from preconceived notions and conditions you have, or you won't have an opportunity to see the quality of things.
You're saying very beautiful, wonderful ideas.
That's nothing to do with this. Save it. Maybe like in about 2 years we get the tip.
Oh, safe. Maybe in another few generations they're going to say, who are you, man? There's also the difference in the language between Odom and objects, both in Boz, with Maflik, and especially She'en Lecha Odom, She'en Lo Yishov, and Lechadov, She'en Lo Yimochim. Difference between time and place, which is a totally different emphasis, and very difficult to deal with because none of the Rishonim, unfortunately, seem to deal with this problem. So they left us out in the cold. But what can you do? You have to try and understand what Ben Isaac was trying to teach us here. That's one possibility. Or there are many things that, in order to explain, you have to go beyond the Mahalach of Pshat that the Rishonim were interested in going through. So they just didn't speak about it. I think we should take the Mishnah. Sorry, yeah, a little bit at a time and see what we can get to. The difficulty in this Mishnah is that the simplicity of the concept that's here is, number one, very simple. Number two, doesn't seem to be in a proper balance of Torah perspective. It's not the way you talk about the simple idea. Don't make fun of people. You never know, you may need him. They bring a Yerushalmi here of an example of this. That there was once a goy by the name of Duklat Chazira.
Duklat Chazir.
Chazira, yeah. He had a name, and he probably had a face to go along with it, and they made fun of him. At the time they were making the Yidden, were making fun of him. He was a Roya Tzoyin, which at that time was considered a very lowly profession. And they made fun of it. That's what they did. They were both. And this Roya Tzoyin got up in the world. He ended up being a Kesal. And then there were trouble. And he made a Gzeir Shmad on the Yidden. the Chachmei Yisrael came to Kesar Duklat, and they asked him to be Mevatel Gzeira. So he said, "You made fun of us. You made fun of me. Now I'm going to get my Nekoma. No problems. You know, straight. I'm going to kill you all out because Nekoma, because you once called me a name." That's what a Goyish case is like. What can you do? That's the way they kill, you know, thousands of men, women, and children. Why? Because three kids threw a stone at me once. That's the way it is. The Chiddush, that's the Pashut part. The Chiddush is that what do you do under such a circumstance? He caught them red-handed. I mean, that's it. What can you answer? So the very interesting answer that they said, Omer loy anachnu bazinu dukla chazira, v'achshav nechabe duklat kesa. That's it. That was their answer, and he accepted it. That's a big chiddush. Omer lehem afal pikein ezo mikan ve'elach. But b'chol if in this conversation here, besides the things that were within it, that there's much to be learned. But this is given as an example of the concept that the Rishonim here, and they mean it literally. Watch out. Don't make fun of people. Don't look at them lightly. You never know who's going to end up. You never know who's going to end up where. I was once at the yeshiva. Well, there was a Sheva Brachas from a bocher from the yeshiva, and the father of the bocher, the yeshiva, also learned in the yeshiva. And then he got up a Sheva Brachas and he spoke to the bocher and he explained that the mechutin, the father-in-law, also learned in yeshiva. He says, "We weren't great friends." Let this be a lesson to you guys. You never know what's going to end up. So when this shidduch came, I had to go first to him and apologize for a few things. He didn't hold it against me. He learned in this yeshiva. He had good midas. This is not the normal approach, the basic approach to human relations that the Torah teaches us. There's a special concept here which is a little bit difficult to grasp. You have to get it in the proper perspective. And then it could have an extremely important lesson to teach us. So the first level is a practical level. Right? Just like the Yerushalmi is telling us, the unthinkable happens. You're so sure, don't be so sure. Okay. Yeah, we had it in our day and age. There were also such nobodies who became big shots. I mean, I don't know exactly where Yeltsin started off. What's the Polish guy's name? Yeah, people, in a few years, they become
second grade painter
to president. Because why? You never know. Okay, so that's an interesting lesson I hear. And therefore, be careful. Yeah, be careful. Don't make fun of somebody, not because he's really worth something, because he may get you one day. What kind of attitude is that? So the first understanding, a simple understanding, that's an extremely important thing. First we'll take it in the total. The total form is when you're talking about a total person. And we're talking about a person who, as he stands today, he is a bona fide nobody. There's no mistake in the addressing the person the way he is now. The Mishnah is not telling you, Alti Aboz the Cholodim, because right now he's important. She doesn't say that. In other words, we're talking about somebody that right now, when you say him, he's a zero. You're right. He is. Nothing. When you say From this person you learn what not to do. Nothing. He's a zero. So the Mishnah is telling us an interesting concept. That even the person that is in fact, you're right. You're 100% right. Your judgment value is not the issue. He's a person that lulei the end of the Mishnah, you would be right to come to the conclusion that this is a zero. And the Mishnah is telling us that even so, never think like that.
Never think and never insult
him. No, never even think that way. You're making a mistake. You're making a mistake even when you're right. You gave him the IQ test and the personality test and the Yiddishkeit test and all the tests that you have, and he flunked them all. He's a 0-0 on all accounts. What do you do with this fellow? So the normal reaction would be to check him off the list. And that person does not exist. So the Mishnah is telling us, as a simon, not only, first of all, just a practical lesson, but as a simon of understanding of what's wrong, there's a mistake here. The simon of the understanding that's a mistake, even though all your tests were right, all your results were right, he's a zero on all accounts. Even though to be buzzed to him, because right now he's a zero on all accounts, it's still a mistake. And the way the Mishnah is going to show that to us is because Ein Lecha Adam She'ein Leisho. The concept. Let's try to get the concept. Besides the idea that you never know, you may turn off the Kesar and you'll be in big trouble. The Mishnah is telling us a klal. Ein Lecha Adam She'ein Leisho. Who says? Maybe not. What's this? Why does Ein Lecha Adam She'ein Leisho?
Because Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't make people for no purpose.
Oh.
He's got to have something, he has to do.
That's it. Pasuk in Mishlei says, a person who's mevaze and oni is mimechayev of the person who made him that way. The Gemara Tana made fun of a person who was particularly ugly. Right. What? I told them, you have complaints, go to my maker. The lesson of that Gemara, the Yerushalmi, the Mishnah, it's all the same kind of denominator. That by definition of existence, there is purpose. The Rabbeinu Shalom's greatness extends to every corner, dark and lowly corner of the earth. Every human being and every item is there for a purpose. If it really had no purpose, it wouldn't be. Not understanding that a thing must have a purpose and giving it its proper chashivas for its purpose, thinking that since I don't see its purpose, it has no purpose, has within it a terrible sakona of kvir, of chor vaseyo, of mimigad of chaviyochum. The understanding of the Rebbeinu's greatness is hashkocha, that everything in the world has a purpose. Adarabba, if you're right that on the surface, this person doesn't seem to be playing any active role, has no important role to play, it has nothing that I can gain out of him, nothing I can do with him, then if you don't have a Muna, so you say, well, then here's a zero. He's a nobody. With a Muna, you say, well, this has got to be a real cute one. What's he going to be? What's he doing here in the world? Ein lecha adam she'ein lo yisho. Step one. Step two.
Who says his purpose has to have a major effect on other people?
God lives, right?
Maybe Hashem to pour honey there.
100%. The Rishonim asks another question. He says, what do you mean, ein lecho odom she'ein lo isho? He says, kama v'kama anoshim oyu shelo hoyu lehem sholo ilam. Not from day one to day end did they have a good day. They were born in Nebuch, they lived in Nebuch, and they died in Nebuch. So what do you mean, ein lecho odom she'ein lo isho? What happened to his show? Yeah. So some, the Leitzonim say is that he slept through it. He got up late that day. He missed it. What can you do? Maybe like next time. So that's one answer. But that's again the one. In the hall, I'm saying no show.
Not this building. It's the next building.
Even if somebody would suffer his entire life, whatever, and it would look horrible, or it would look like he's never the whole life, that doesn't mean that that. That was the way he was created for a purpose. He should be like that. Maybe it's just, we'd have a Bechira and a moon or whatever, but that's it. I mean, it's still he still has a show.
So there's a Chiddush, you know, that the show doesn't have to be in the Olam Hazeh. The show could be in the Olam Hazeh also. There are people that merit. Very special people. You have to be very special merit to have that type of a life given to you, even though it's not necessarily pleasant at all. That you don't have to be koina olam haba, your passport to olam haba. You were born as a ben olam haba. You never were koina your passport to olam hazeh. You're only here as a gift. Just like the neshama is a ge'ager anichi ba'oretz, so some people are not just the neshama is a ge'er in olam hazeh. The guf is also a ge'er in olam hazeh. The whole person is a ge'er in olam hazeh. He doesn't have a place in olam hazeh. He's a ben olam haba. Lemaisa, if Yitzchak's original plan would have been, and the brachas of olam hazeh would be given to Esav, we would all be like that. Yaakov would only be a ben olam haba, wouldn't have no shayches olam hazeh. All of olam hazeh would be given over to Esav. It's hard to deal with this concept, especially on the cosmic mahalach. But an individual mahalach, we have to know that the Rabbani Shalom has very, very complex world. And in the world, you're going to find everything. Everything that could be a mahalach of value exists. Because there's no reason for anything to be left out. And everything that there is in the world has a part of the master plan. The master plan is made up of all of the possible parts, all of the different forms and all the different colors, and some of them are very not standard. Very not standard. Until now, inclusive now, we're going on the Mahalach that we're really talking about the exceptional person. Afterwards, we're going to have to see how this applies to every person. But first of all, we have to see, hear it in the exception. Hear it packaged clearly on its own. There is an individual that, in terms of Olam Hazeh per se, he's a zero. He doesn't make it on any account. He's a Nebuch from when he started to where he ends. Didn't succeed in anything. Didn't have very many good days. When he decided to become a Chevra Kedisha, people stopped dying. You know, made umbrellas and then stopped raining. You know, it was just what they call lo yutzlach. I didn't have a show ever. There are even people worse than that. There are people that seem to be born, for whatever terrible reason, they were born as negative people, dangerous people. People like, example Yishalmi gives, of this Duklat Chazir. The Pashtus Pshat of the Yerushalmi is watch out. You never know. He may be Keso one day. You didn't think so, but he may be. And then watch out. What is he going to do to you? And the Cholam Shein Lasho. Hidden in the Yerushalmi is a bigger Kiddush. You think that he's a Chazir? You think that he's a zero? You think that he has no capability of raising up? He'll have an hour. He's going to have his day. What was his day? When he came and the Chachomim said, yes, you're right. We admit. And we have nothing to go back and say we didn't mean it. We were bad. But we now realize that we were making fun of Duklat Chazir. And now we're going to learn to honor Duklat Kesar. What they tell him? What he's telling is that if we knew that you were a Kesar, then we wouldn't have done it in the first place. But we didn't know. We thought you were a Chazir. Now that the reality of life has brought out that you are a Kesar, so then we know the Chathchila that we weren't making fun, we were wrong. We didn't understand. Now we understand the Mefreya when Mevatel what we said. He's sure of his being really a Kesar, Malchus was that he was Mechel, he was Makabalist. Why was he Makabalit? So besides maybe that because he's Mila, but there is a concept. When he was a Roy of Bocha, he probably didn't know that he was a Kesar in potential either. If you would have asked him that, are you a Kesar? Are you going to be a Kesar? What do you give the chances? Laugh at you. You're crazy. Weird ideas. But somewhere down, within the Mamakeh Nefesh, there was the Nakuda value that could give him royalty that existed within him. And he knew it. But he himself didn't know how to. The Nakoma that he felt the need to bring, it was because then he also felt, what do you mean you're making fun of me as a Chazir? I have royalty in me. He didn't know how to say it. He didn't know. You called a cow a cow, so what? He is a cow. Declare Chazir. There's a guy they were making fun of. Ain lecha odom she'ain lo isha. Every person has a time, which means not that the whole life he's a zero, and at one moment you'll see his value. If at one moment the value will come to the surface, from there a person has to know that it was under the surface the whole time. If at the end he became a Kesar, then when he was a Chazira, he was also a Kesar. Even if he himself wasn't aware of it. I'll tell you a secret, which you have to be very careful. It's a little dangerous, but it's generally true. Most people who have gaiva problems, the source of the problem is because in fact they are not receiving the honor that they justifiably deserve. And usually it's because nobody knows that they justifiably deserve it, maybe not even themselves. But it starts with an akuda of truth, that there's an element of value, of importance, of tachlis, of part of the Bereshit's master plan, that exists within the person that says, I am something worth existing. When a person loses that, So on the surface, he looks like a psychiatric case. And if it's complete, he'll jump off a roof. All that happens there is that this nekuda that a person lives with throughout his days and on his good days and his bad days, if that's totally eliminated, he's finished. Gedolei Balei Mussar say that if a person's kavod would be eliminated completely, he would die. If a person can't live without air, a person can't live without respect, self-respect, the respect. There is a basic respect that's essence of a person's existence. Al tiyavoz l'chol olam. Shein l'chol olam, shein lo yishol. The Mishnah is telling us, based on the fact that everybody's here for a purpose, there is greatness in every individual. There is no stam individual that was created because, why not, let's have one of those two. But every person was part of the Rabbeinu Shalom's master plan. And the Rabbeinu Shalom's master plan only has greatness in it. There are no simple Jews in Olam HaBo. Like we said before, Malachas Kohanim Goy Kodesh. In Olam HaBo, when every Jew will be raised up to his greatness, there aren't going to be any simples. Everybody's going to be a great. Everybody's going to be a Malachas Kohanim. Everybody's going to be a Goy Kodesh. That's the Koyach, the Torah. That's why we're given this pasuk by Matan Torah. Torah is that power that enables the greatness in, that there is within the human capability to come to the surface. Torah is a direction manual of how to bring out one's greatness. Every person, by definition of his existence, has to have greatness. That greatness is life essence. You have a child with problems, doing things not the way it should be. Bump him on the head, drive him down, chances are it isn't going to work. There are times you have to patch, but basically, if you bang and you emphasize the negative, it'll get stronger. The Yesod Aleph of Chinuch is that it's the mechanic's job to find the kernels, the seedlings of greatness, and nourish them. Bring them out. Sometimes even expanding them beyond their place now, beyond their level of growth now. Sometimes you have to show him what he could be. The Maharal says that that's the pshat in Kol Esav Esav Yesh LaMalach SheMakal SheBeroishoy VaOim LaGidol. The all growth process of the world is done by giving a bang on the head and showing and telling him to grow. Why does he have to bang on the head? Can't speak to him nicely. This is, what does it mean that a malach bangs you on the head? Is that the malach shows the ace of what its potential is. The reason why not to grow is because I am the way I am. What's the matter with the way I am? But if I show you you're this and you could be that, well then why stay this? It's just that I think I am this. When a person shows, brings out to another person, a child, an adult, anybody, his greatness, that's the essence of the positive influence that a person can have on others. The Rishonim tell us, and it's corresponding to what we saw in the Yerushalmi, there's an emphasis here on the negative. Mayuchol ploini lahazikli. What can he damage me? He's unimportant because he can't do me any damage. I cannot give him his due minimal cover because he's insignificant. What can he do for me? What kind of attitude is this? What's the Mishnah trying to bring out, showing, emphasizing with this type of a concept? Here we have this concept extended to a much deeper and greater level. Al tiyavoz l'chol adam, because he's important to him, because he's important to the Rabbanim Shalom, is not sufficient. The mission is indicating to us something beyond that. He's directly important to you. You never know. If you're not going to give him his right place in the world, then the result is going to be you're going to lose. Because you need that he should have his right place in the world. Why is that? And not his uncle and not his friend. I have nothing to do with it. What do I and him have to do in common? The yesod of Ahavta Rechecha Kamecha is based that we're all one existence. All mankind, in the larger sense, and in the special sense of all Yidden, this in Guf and this in Neshama. Klai Yisrael is one big neshama. If his role won't be found, I'm going to get damaged by him. That's not a punishment, it's not a threat. That's the reality of the resultants. If he is a zero, behind and under that zero is a seven, and that seven won't come out unless I give him the proper encouragement, when it doesn't come out, I'm going to suffer the consequences, because he's going to be for me an ingrown toenail. Now I look at him as a toenail, and I'm going to find out he's an ingrown toenail, and I'm going to hurt because we're one. You never know how he's going to hurt you. It means that his missing, and therefore, mehadin, and that's why the Rabbanim Shalom usually is knowing the world, that's one of the understandings of mida keneged mida, that negativism, that damage to you will come directly from him, mida keneged mida. The reason why he's going to hurt you is not because he hates you. And he's going to get you. That may be the surface reason. But the mida keneged mida of the Nehogas Hashem is, you created this lacking in the world. You created this lacking of his potential. You cook the soup, eat it. You created this lacking. You created this negative. You created this damage. You created the bore. You fall into it. Al tiyavoz l'chol odom is a neurotical responsibility that takes the mitzvah of Ahavta Rechecha Kamecha and gives us more of an insight of why it's a klal gadol b'Torah. It contains within it the Yesodos HaEmunah, and it contains within it the understanding of the intrinsic and internal interrelationship between people, and that every individual that exists, and especially the ones that come in contact with me, there are thousands of people in the world, there are thousands of Jews in the world, I may never meet all of them, they still all will have some relationship to me. But those that the Rabbanim Shalom throughout the years, the Rabbanim Shalom in his Hashkocha makes that this one meets that one, whoever comes together is because they have a more direct relationship. They're closer organs in the body. and their interrelationship is more important. If you were found yourself as a shochein, you didn't intend it, and you just woke up one day and you found this person as a shochein, and you said, he's not my type, X. Right. Out. I don't consider him part of my life. You're going against the Shkocha. You're going against the Rabban Yishlom. If the Rabban Yishlom had no intention of him being part of your life, he wouldn't have parked him in your next door and in your backyard. If he's there, he's there for a reason. I don't see any reason, certainly not any good reason. You can never know. The simple pshat, ain lecha shoa in the future. The deeper pshat, ain lecha shoa in olam habo. The Gemara says that, except for Talmid Chachamim, olam habo is olam hofuch hanirea. Al yoinim tachtoinim, tachtoinim al yoinim. There are different ways of going through this world. We'll take the example of Asher v'Ani. Asher is the high road in this world. Ani is the low road in this world. Both of them have a way of getting to Olam Habo. And both of them have a way of not getting there. Two different forms of Nisyonis. But in terms of Olam Hazeh, Asher is the high road and Ani is the low road. Ein lecha olam she'ein lecha, in Olam Hazeh, el yoinim tachtoinim tachtoinim el yoinim. If the person was on the low road in Olam Hazeh, the natural tendency is that he'll be on the high road in Olam Habo. When a person, every person now we'll take it just to the last stage, every person has within him himself and every individual that he meets a section of all of the different levels. Everybody's sometimes an Oni and sometimes an Osher, relatively. Everybody sometimes a chochum, sometimes a tippish. Everybody has a good day and a bad day. Everybody has a day when he looks himself in the mirror and he says, who in the world is that? What created that thing? Right? Boy, if I was creating the world, I wouldn't have created it. And there's the next day, it could be 10 minutes later, he looks in the world, says, it's really, you can see that the Baruch knows what he's doing. Look, don't you see, look what he created. Who is wrong? Both, neither. The other person and yourself. Every person is made up of all the different parts. Every person has his milas and chesvenas. Nothing is at waste. Nothing is for nothing. Ein lecha odom she'ein lo yisho. Whatever goes into the human formula, whatever goes into the part of what it means to be a human being, when you test it out on yourself and you say, boy, this was a mistake, I shouldn't have been like this, whoever created me blew it on this one. Ein lecha odom she'ein lo yisho. That aspect of you has a purpose too. When a person learns the sugya of Anova, Anivus, especially if you saw it in reality, which is very hard to do nowadays, there are Anoshim Gdolim that had the Midah of Anova Bepoil, which meant they can actually. Okay, so we'll take this story, the famous story with Baron Kotler. Baron Kotler, you all know who Baron Kotler was. And there was an Oni that used to walk around, and he wasn't exactly all there. And he would go over every day to the Rosh Yeshiva and ask him for a donation, and he would get one. And sometimes he would go over 5 minutes later and ask for a second one, and usually he would get one too. But there were times that he got a lot, he'd forget, and he would come over the beginning of davening, the middle of davening, the end of davening, on the way out of shul. And there was a point where the Talmidim decided that they have to teach this fellow a lesson. You know, Kavod HaTorah and all the rest, you know. And They were in the process of teaching the lesson, and Rav Aaron walked in. Then they got taught the lesson. But besides the other things that happened over there, the most amazing maybe part of it was that as he was giving the reprimand to his students, he told them in a way that Rav Aaron can tell students and they can know that he means it for real. What makes you so sure that I'm choshev and he's not? Maybe it's the opposite. You so sure? How do you know? There are things that I'll never get to what he has. And he went on to until they started hearing it, and it's extremely. What do you? What's this all about? Who are you fooling? It's a half crazy, homeless. And they go to the door, So we have to put up with him. We don't have to put up with him. Cover the door, not cover the door. But he's greater than you. Come on, stop it. There's limits to everything. So in the little simple terms of Olam Hazeh, don't get confused. Rebaron is Rebaron and the Oni is the Oni. It's not. But real anova, and that's what these concepts teach us. It's very next Mishnah, amazing. I wonder, right there. It's the way that always happens, I don't know. A real anova needs, in its formalization, it's impossible to get to those levels without the prerequisite of Alti Havoz L'chol Adam. The capability of seeing the good in every person, even when it can't be found in the blood test. And seeing the value. And seeing the way of Ein Lecha Adam Shein Lo Yishol. Makes it, and seeing that there are some Shein Lo Yishol, Boilem Azeh, Boilem Abol. You know where you stand in Olam Haba? Somebody gave you a ticket, signed you a contract? And you know where he stands in Olam Haba? Once you bring Gulam into the picture, then Bechlal, nobody can know what's doing. But even simply, a person that suffered through life with a very lowly and unfair, difficult package and remained straight according to his level, there's no way of judging what kind of levels that can bring to a person. And what it says in mitzvahs, echot shaloi b'tzah, shovem meya b'tzah. A person gets 100 times. It's not just 1 to 100, yes tzar, no tzar. The same thing is in levels of tzar. There's physical tzar, there's spiritual tzar, there's emotional tzar. A person who goes through life in a way, she'ein lo yishol b'olam hazeh, like the Rishonim said, he has almost a natural tendency to be a Ben Olam Haba. He was born that way, he's going to die that way, and he didn't live that way. And that's why he didn't live in Olam Hazeh. He didn't have it. That wasn't given his chelik. Being able to manage to get through such a difficult portion brings a person to, we have no way of judging what quality that can bring him to. Either it's just accepting the Rabbanishman's plans. Nothing more. All the many levels. Many levels, right? But even a simple level. Nothing. You just remain Shem Shabbos, that's all. Right? So. What? Yeah, that's in a more sensitive way. Ein lecha adam she'ein lo yisho. Is a yesoid godel in public relations immediately ben olam chaveiro. This may be a continuation of something that we're showing that way of heavy rots the mitzvah kala the most natural and simple human tendency, this world is a world of values. This world is a world that works everything on values. The different types of values, financial values, and there's moral values and different values, but everything is given values. And the natural reaction is to any person that comes my way is I evaluate him and give him a number. In all kinds of different forms. I give him a IQ number, and I give him a personality number, and I give him a trustworthy number, and I give him a friendliness number, and I judge him from head to toe. No. It's a natural, proper human activity. But the Mishnah is telling you, though, how to do it. You have to do all of that on the surface and be able to still retain the Alti Yavoz L'chol Odom. She'ein L'chol Odom, she'ein L'esho. Ein L'chol Odom, she'ein L'mokon, just to wrap up the Mishnah. Is a similar type concept brought up to an even further degree. There, let's take for example the animal kingdom. Go to a zoo and see the different colored birds. In a real dinky zoo, they probably have 500 types of birds or something, you know. And they usually have the ones with the fantastic colors and special shaped beaks and birds and whatever. And a person very often could wonder, what is all of this? What are all these? Who needs hippopotamuses? They really don't seem to be, you know, have an obvious function. What would be the world different with hippopotamuses and without hippopotamuses? Why do you need birds with these fantastic colors? What purpose does it play? It's in the dovo she'en lo imokon. There's nothing that doesn't have its place. So again, first approach, like the Gemara says, that David Melech said he had problems with a few things. What do you need spiders for? And wasps?
Crazy people.
Those three things were his problem. And the Baal Shem showed him in his individual life where these three things will be used to save himself. So he saw that all of the things that and called and shenlo imokin, everything has its place. So the first chat, which is also true, that anything that's in olam hazeh has its place in olam hazeh. Everything is here, you need it. What would the world be different without hippopotamuses? I don't know.
I do.
Yeah?
Yes. There was a disease in Africa where his tribe was getting blind. Blind. Completely blind and nothing. Once you're blind, you had it. And they didn't know what it was, and they discovered that because there were people poaching hippopotamuses used to go through these swamp-like little water lakes, and they would move through all this grassy type material, weedy material, on which breeded an insect that carried a bacteria, some kind of a microorganism that causes blindness. And when they poached these hippopotamuses and killed them, so this stuff breeded more and caused these people blindness. And when they hadn't done that, the hippopotamuses, because they wallow in the water back and forth, always disturbed this particular part of the system, and they never had any blindness. So that's what you need hippopotamuses for.
All right. I hear.
For blindness to a whole tribe of people.
Huh?
Pretty amazing concept.
Yeah, it's amazing. No question. Ein lecha oda, shein loy mochin. Ein lecha oda, adobo shein loy mochin. Vadai, there's truth. That every item, every plant, every animal has a function. Even in this world. And sometimes we get to know it, sometimes we don't get to know it. But the simple understanding of it is, the simple approach of it is, that you have spiders from the time of Shishmei Bereishis till the end of time, because one time is going to save David the Melech. And that's worth it. That's one approach. You have to have ravens, because one time the ravens are going to bring the meat to Elio and Ovid. Not that really we don't understand why the meat can be brought by a vulture. Why you have to have dafka ravens for that? Maybe just have vultures and no ravens. But the idea is that there's a one-time occurrence, there's a one situation, there's one place, a niche in the place where you need this. That's true. That's true. But it's not sufficient. Good. Now that, in hindsight, excuse the pun, now that you have these things that grow on that, and the hippopotamus, and it, so that's why you need hippopotamuses. But if you were sitting down originally to work it out, and you only you, not the Rebbeinu Shalom, that's the only way you can do to make hippopotamus? No. That's what it's all about? No. So the question is still bigger than the answer. So the answer again, just like we had, was not just that he exists for that time, but from that time it's brought to the surface what his existence was the whole time. That there's importance that goes beyond the surface, that you only be brought out at one particular time. Same thing with an item, where in this world it may only come out once in a lifetime. Its particular importance. That's just an indicative thing that it was put in part of the Rebbeinu Shlomo's master plan.
Is that mushroom dating with the rock?
One second. The deeper understanding of it is that Vadai, again, if Olam Hazeh was a closed internal circuit that only had its answers for Olam Hazeh, then I'm sorry, you would need hippopotamuses. There'd be different ways of getting, as a matter of fact, who needs those bacteria? Don't know the answers, right? But that's not the whole picture. There will be a place or a time where in Olam Hazeh you'll also see that there's purpose here, that there's a necessary link. But that's only a simon of an internal value. Okay, so what is the internal value of hippopotamuses? Why do you need 7,000 different colors and birds? I don't know. I have no idea. But the Mishnah teaches us the concept to know that if that its value can be brought out in Olam Hazeh is indicative that it has intrinsic value. But the intrinsic value of all these thousands of things are bigger than all of Olam Hazeh. Right. That's the point. Olam Hazeh has within it much more than what Olam Hazeh itself needs. Olam Hazeh is much more complicated than what you would need just for Olam Hazeh. That's because what we've already been learning throughout the parak, that Olam Hazeh is not just Olam Hazeh. That's not even its main role. Olam Hazeh is a factory for producing Olam Haba. The real reason why you need all people and all creations is because in the master plan of making Olam Haba out of Olam Hazeh, these things have a role. I'm convinced, I don't have a Makor borer for this, but I'm convinced there are many aspects of the Bria that we will first see their importance and their role only when Mashiach comes. Only when things will be brought to the world, removed the uglier side, the lowly side, and the world will be brought up to its Yoifi and its higher side, then all of a sudden in the beautiful harmony of the world, we're going to see exactly, I have no idea what. No, don't ask, I don't know. But just like in history, we don't have, until we get to the end, we don't have an understanding of what all of this is all about. Same too in nature. If it would be just for the here and now, it does seem superfluous with all the answers. Could have been done easier. It's much more too complicated just to get through 6,000 years and give a chance to appear. The answer is no. That Olam Haba is not a different place than Olam Hazeh. Olam Haba is Olam Hazeh brought to its higher form. So whatever you're going to have in Olam Haba is going to have to exist in Olam Hazeh. I have no idea what a hippopotamus is going to look like in Olam Haba. But when we get there and we see the hippopotamus in Olam Haba, nobody's going to have a question that it was kedai to have him around for 6,000 years. The royalty, the beauty, the greatness of all of that there goes into nature. There are fields that are in such resolute places that throughout of history, and beautiful flowers there, and scenery, and there are places that are so removed and difficult to get there. Throughout history, there were 15 people that were there. So who needed all this unbelievable beauty and chokhmah? And what was it for? So those 15 people, or one of them, was the Enoch HaDov HaShein Lo Yimokoi. That was just its expression in Olam Hazeh. But its real purpose, we don't know, possibly, was only because it's preparatory for what that is going to have its role to play in Yimayse Mashiach Olam Haba. The indication that we have both from people and from the world is that the world is made on itself, that it's bigger than itself. The unlimited limits is ingrained in the limited finite. The world itself is made in these thousands of details, in the millions of individual items, aspects, people, history, items, factors of nature, of creation, that all of this is bigger than just the here and now. There's something bigger going on here. So a person doesn't have to know the answers. What do you need blue pelicans for? Maybe just pink pelicans is enough. No, you need blue pelicans and pink pelicans and yellow pelicans and the green ones. So the kids can go to the zoo. Enoch HaOlam HaShein Lo Yimokoi. Enoch HaDov HaShein Lo Yimokoi. Vadai. That's also good. But that's not the end of it. That's the simen. That's the simen that the world itself has a miniaturized form. The world is a miniature preparatory place for Olam Haba. But everything in here, and everything that we experience, its real value in terms is what's its ramification in terms of Olam Haba. Whatever there's going to be in Olam Haba has its source in Olam Hazeh, down to the flowers. So the Mishnah tells us a Gevaltike Yisori that continues from the Benanzai's first expression of teaching us proper perspective and importance of our Maisim, that it doesn't end with Maisim. It extends beyond to all existence. The Kaisa concept that goes throughout the both Mishnah is the understanding of the internal and unlimited value that can be seen and proven from the least valuable thing, from everything, even from the most simple. A person who's kind of such a concept and is able to bring it into his real life heart attitude system will live in a beautiful world. There are no more bad people. There are people that there are difficulties with and you have to adjust to and you have to work around. There's nothing is any more worthless, nothing is empty, there's no bad days, nothing is ugly. There's only relative, there are better days and less bad good days. Nothing is ever worthless. There's nothing you can do to me that's going to break me. Because you can't get me out of value. You can't get me out of importance. You can't give me a world of nothingness. Because I'll show you eternity and olam haba in the lowest level of existence. On to the next mission.